Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 73.
I think you'll find the presentation interesting as well as very, very stimulating. Could we have the lights turned down? Now, this first slide shows a very, very interesting thing. Our main building. In slide two, we see another view of it. Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it. Let us look at this slide for a moment without comment. I think it speaks for itself. Could we have the lights, please? Well, I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me. Let's have lunch, shall we? And maybe smoke a cigarette?
I might have judged you too harshly at the party. I know this sounds crazy, but would you like to have a Mia coffee with cup?
What?
Do you want a cup of me with Koofy? Would you like to have a cup of Moffy with Key? With me? A cup of coffee with who?
What the fuck are you saying?
Do you want to have coffee with me?
I think you're asking me if I'd like to have a cup of coffee with you.
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's what I'm trying to ask.
Coffee sounds great. Half calf, decaf.
No foam, hold the foam, no cream.
What happened to just a good old-fashioned cup of coffee?
I know, it's also confusing. Right?
It is. It is so confusing. That's how you say it, confusing in France. What are we doing?
This is all happening so fast. I can't. My Aunt Flo is visiting.
You're on your period?
No, my Aunt Flo is visiting me from Florida. Hey, Aunt Flo. How about we get that coffee, huh?
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Dolores Williams.
Hello.
In this episode, we begin our November theme of spoofs. We start the month off with Police Academy and They Came Together. Before doing that, we'd like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of their other shows. All right, biatch. It's drink roll call time.
I'm going with a limited release from Lagunitas, which is my favorite brewing company, and I'm having something called a Little Something Extra Ale. I've had a few times from them. I've had a Little Something Something Ale.
Oh, that's right.
But this is called a Little Something Extra Ale. And actually, to be honest, it's not my favorite. It's one of the few from Lagunitas that I'm like, okay, well, that was just all right.
What does it taste like? I mean, like,
it's very strong. Like, it's very high alcohol, and it's real. It's 8.5 by volume.
Cheesy Pete's.
Yeah, it's just a little. I don't know, it just kind of like stays on the lips, you know, like you're smacking a lot. It's real like syrupy tasting.
Is it thick? Oh, it's syrupy, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's not a Guinness or a porter or anything like that. It's just it's just really, I don't know, intense, I guess.
All right.
So what about you? What are you having? God's beer?
I'm actually having my absolute, I think it might be my favorite beer. Like, I'm not exactly sure, but it's Burning Sky from Empyrean.
Smart.
It's just so good.
It's because they discontinued their other stuff that you liked.
Better World Wheat. You know, I still go to Octo Beer Fest every year and ask them for it. I feel like they know I'm coming. They're like, oh my God, here's these bitches again.
Here's the fucking World Wheat girl.
You know what? To be honest, though, if I had to choose between Better World Wheat and Boulevard, I would pick Boulevard. So, whoa. I mean, and that's not discontinued at all.
Bold statement.
Right? All right.
Let's move on to our first film. It is from 1984, and it is Police Academy.
Crime. The city was full of it.
Hey! Free TVs!
Desperate measures were needed.
want you to go to the police academy.
The police academy is such a dangerous place.
Honey, don't worry.
Desperate measures were taken.
I'm joining the police force!
The mayor says we have to take this riffraff.
I'm trapped here?
Well, yes. We all are. What about guns? When do we get guns?
You will be schooled in firearms, police procedures, local laws, and many, many other things.
High speed driving. And self-defense.
I need a volunteer.
That's me!
I love it.
Police Academy.
Where did you get this gun?
My mom gave it to me.
Mister, I am warning you, Hightower!
They're lean.
Funny, Roger.
Mean.
Does the radio bother you?
Five.
I can turn it down.
Obscene. Each and every one of them striving to defend.
You make me sick.
Thank you, sir. I make everybody sick.
See the thighs.
Or offend.
Come on. I haven't got all day the thighs.
And now that they're ready for the real world.
Give me the thing!
Crime is no longer the number one problem. They are.
Can you get my kitty cat out of the tree?
No problem, ma'am.
Police Academy.
New rules enforced by the Lady Mayoress that mean sex, weight, height, and intelligence need no longer be a factor for joining the police force. This opens the floodgates for all and sundry to enter the police academy, much to the chagrin of the instructors. Not everyone is there through choice, though. Social misfit Mahoney has been forced to sign up as the only alternative to a jail sentence, and it doesn't take long before he falls foul of the boorish Lieutenant Harris. But before long, Mahoney realizes that he's enjoying being a police cadet and decides he wants to stay, while Harris decides he wants Mahoney out. Boom!
There you go.
There's an exclamation point at the end.
It's true. So, Police Academy. You know, what's interesting about this one is when you first suggested this, I was like, well, that's a comedy. That's not a spoof. And so it depends on where you go. Like, some places have it listed just as a comedy. And some places have it as a spoof, because it is taking on the standard themes and ideas of a police film.
Right.
And it is tearing that down. And so I think that's the sort of the way that we are defining spoof, is that it's taking your traditional film and you do have to be knowledgeable in what they are making fun of.
Yeah, or it wouldn't be nearly as funny.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's right. Like a play on.
Sure. Yeah. And so while I think that it does work as just a traditional comedy with these guys being police officers, I think that if you do know the standard police film with, you know, either a young, up and coming cadet or a new guy to the force or, you know, what have you, I think that it does play on that a little bit by having almost every type of character all joining the force at the same time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly.
So I just wanted to get that out of the way before we moved on. Cause I can imagine some people saying, Police Academy, what the fuck? That's just a comedy. It's not like Hot Fuzz, where it's very specifically, pointing out, movies or like The Naked Gun or something like that, where it's being completely ridiculous. So, that all being said, what is it that made you choose Police Academy? Because this is from my year. This is 84. This is my jam, Cruz. This is when a lot of the films that we had talked about, it's 84, 85. That's where I picked a lot of films fairly recently.
I did not realize this was, quote, your jam.
But well, when I'm five, it's Police Academy, of course.
To be honest, the only thing, like, I watched this movie a long time ago. Like, 1984 was my jam in... because it's technically my year that I was born. The only thing I remember about this movie is that he gets out of the car and he's a fucking shirt on that says bun in the oven or one in the oven.
Yeah.
And I, like, to this day, every time I see any shirt like that, I think of this movie.
Interesting.
And I don't know why. Like, there's just weird things that stick out in your head when you're little, you know, and you watch a movie, and that was one of them. I was like, that's funny, because he can't be pregnant. Like, I don't know why I thought that was hilarious.
That is a good joke, because it's right? A boy.
That's seriously, it stuck with me all this time.
Katie, you don't get it. Look, it's a boy wearing it. Katie, you're not old enough.
We're staring at the wall and looking at this funny movie. Yeah, it was that, and then I remember, you know, that, like, I remembered that the lady with the soft voice, but, like, honestly, that's all I remembered about this movie.
Sure. You know, it is funny that you picked this, because this is a film that I have seen so many times, but I've seen it in chunks so many times.
Oh, sure.
And we used to have a copy of the VHS at the place that I used to work, and it would be on just, you know, for background noise. And so you would see it, and I remember when it first got to the shop, and I was like, oh shit, I forgot that there were a lot of boobs in this. Like,
oh, yeah.
You get the remote on, you're like, oh boy.
I forgot. Boobies.
Just, cause that's what you do on the beach. You just whip them out and whatever.
Right.
Tackleberry stares at you, and it's fine.
You just take a shower and make sure that the window is open. So people can just see right in there.
That way Harris can sit there with his beer.
His beer, like, creepiest creeper.
So anyway, this is, you know, I haven't seen a lot of the sequels. I have seen, I feel like I've seen at least a few scenes from, not all of them, but a good majority of them.
Sure.
This is interesting to note that this is again a Drew Struzan poster who was, the posters were, it from The Mist at the beginning when he's drawing all the different posters and whatnot.
Yeah.
That was all Drew Struzan work. So he did the posters for this, for the Harry Potter films, for, you know, the Indiana Jones films, the Star Wars films, etc.
Weird.
At least I think he did the Star Wars. I may be wrong. But I know he did, like, Goonies. He was a very big 80s illustrator and did a lot of movie posters. But anyway, so that was this. And what's funny to me is that this has, if this was made today, there's no way, you know, obviously everyone goes with, you know, an actual picture taken from a camera.
Yeah.
And not an illustration now, but it's just funny to me that they have this poster as it is, and they're all just kind of bursting. Yeah, I do like it a lot better, actually.
It's kind of like more, you can go more abstract with them. Like, give somebody googly eyes or something like that would be kind of fun,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, my main takeaway is, when I was young, I loved Mahoney, of course. Right?
Yeah.
But my favorite, my absolute favorite, was Michael Winslow as Jones.
I did remember him too.
That did all the voices.
Yeah.
I just thought that was so hilarious. What did you think of this on the rewatch or on a refresh, I guess?
It was totally 80s, which you know, everything in the 80s was totally 80s. So you got to give him props. They're like, okay, I want to make sure that when somebody watches this, they know what decade it was from.
Yeah. This is the 80s. God damn it.
Yeah.
And we are going to be the 80s.
Yes. I mean, it was, like, obviously, it's supposed to be a comedy, so there weren't really a lot of, you know, pull-at-your-heartstrings kind of parts. I did feel bad for the Hightower.
Oh, yes.
Kicked out. I was like, damn.
You know, that's a thing where I remember being young and not knowing about calling someone a jigaboo being a slur. And
I had never heard that word. Like, I had assumed it had obviously negative connotations because of what happened afterward, but.
Sure, sure. And I remember, you know, seeing that scene and having Lieutenant Harris say, you know, calling Hooks a dumb fuck jigaboo. And I remember being young and thinking that was the funniest sounding thing. You know, and.
It is a stupid word.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And not using the dumb fuck part, but saying jigaboo like around my family when I'm young, and
how did that go over?
I don't know if it was a friend or my mom, or I'm positive it wasn't my dad, but I know that someone said, you probably should not say that, and I was like, why, like, what's the
right. You know, I'm confused about this.
So what, like, what's the big deal? And, but, you know, so I remember that sequence very well. The, her driving through the driving test and doing the
She's a song. I can't remember it even now.
It's, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Yeah. You know what's funny about her is I didn't know this, but I looked up a little bit about Hooks, and she wore a fat suit.
Really?
For the role. She also was doing a Michael Jackson impersonation for the voice.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's not her actual voice, that she is doing a Michael Jackson impersonation.
Well, I'm really glad that's not her actual voice.
So I looked that up and saw, you know, that's just another of the IMDb trivia, and who knows? I mean, that could be completely different wrong or completely different.
Right.
But, I saw that and that really made me laugh every time she was talking then. Cause it's like, oh my God, like it is.
Now that you think about it, it's like, it reminds me of the South Park episode with Mr. Jefferson.
Mm, yes.
Thank you.
And let's see, I also, you know, I was doing a little bit of research about this and I want to get her name right. I believe it's Callahan. Yeah. Sergeant Callahan.
Oh, the blonde.
Yes. Ball buster, right? Mm. And she is from Kearney, Nebraska.
No shit.
And went to UNK.
Can't spell drunk without UNK.
That's true. That is true. Of course, there, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Kim Cattrall.
Yes, and she's so pretty when she, I mean, like, she's pretty old lady now, but like, she's
back in the day, yeah, when we watched Porky's and this.
Yes.
You know, it's all around this sort of time. I don't think we're ever going to get to Mannequin, but that's another one that she's in.
Yeah.
That's very 80s. But, you know, she was the thing. And I do love that sequence when Mahoney's pretending to be a cop and he's talking about seeing her legs. And
yeah, that was good.
You know, and it just, what was funny to me is I watched that and I think, oh, Mahoney, you lovable so-and-so.
Yeah,
you scallywag. If that was today, I'd be like, God, what a fucking pervert. Like, what are you doing, guy? Like,
right.
You know, and it's just the tone of the 80s where it's like, oh, it's okay.
I mean, if this was
boys today, will be boys.
Punched him in the mouth.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Well, there are a lot of things. Like, he says, like, sleeping's for fags. And I'm like, oh, God, gee, come on, guys.
Oh, they're like, oof.
Well, and then, like, the whole premise of the movie is, like, sex, weight, height, and intelligence. Not intelligent so much, but, like, sex and, like, you know, body type or whatever, like, is no longer a factor. Like, talk about equal opportunity hiring, please.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially when they're, like, they're talking about how there should be Johnson. There'll be Johnsons as far as the eye can see.
The other thing is, like, these are supposed to be, like, Squad D riffraff, but I mean, it's not like they're all like falling apart piles of crap. You know what I mean? Like, there's one bigger guy.
Leslie,
a couple chicks. But like,
why would Hightower be in Squad D?
Right? He's giant.
Bubba Smith, former professional football player, Bubba Smith.
Right. Well, I mean, these people are obviously like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I understand why, because it's like, we'll just get some fun people around, but I mean, that was definitely not the D squad. I could have with better piles of crap for that.
Well, sure. You would think, it also does seem like Lieutenant Harris is, you know, arm in arm with Commandant Lessard. And so for Lessard being the guy in charge, Harris being his de facto number two to be in charge of the D squad, it's like, well, why is he wasting his time with those guys?
Well, he was supposed to, like, make them all quit by being an asshole.
Yeah, I guess so. And then you did have the two guys, I think Copeland, maybe? The two straight-laced dudes.
Yeah, like...
That were in there for some reason.
Their head shaved and...
Yeah, just take a little off the side.
Yeah, this is the army.
That's good. I also do appreciate Tackleberry quite a bit.
Which one is that?
He's the ridiculous big-gunned... very intense guy that was staring at the boobs, playing the saxophone.
Oh, Tackleberry.
Yeah.
Because he's like a hard-ass, but he's not like a tattletale hard-ass.
Well, he's a hard-ass, but he's insane because he's got that, where'd you get that gun, son? My mom gave it to me.
Yeah.
That thing where he blows the whole shoot range thing up.
I guess they do have like a pretty good cast of characters, like the guy who's pretending to be like Spanish and...
Oh yeah, George Martin, yeah. George Martin. Yeah. What I do want to say that I think that George Gaines as Commandant Lasard, as the old man in charge, I think he is so funny. Like every time I see him, whether it's the whole prostitute blowjob thing or it's just him talking, especially with the Johnsons as far as the eye can see that we already mentioned, I just find him to be so like, oh, grandpa, what are you doing?
Right. You know? It reminds me of when like Leslie Nielsen plays the president in like Scary Movie 3 or something.
Right, yeah, he has very much that same vibe.
Right, where he's like, I'm just gonna say things that I surprise myself with. Like, I'm as surprised as you that just came out of my mouth.
Yeah. So one of the things that I was troubled by in this rewatch was besides Mahoney's short length, because those babies were really high.
But I saw Yep.
Besides that, it was, I thought he was so funny, and maybe it's just an 80s thing, but I was like, God, Mahoney's like I just wish he would get off the screen. Like, he was my least favorite part rewatching it. Cause I just thought he was a dick. And, you know, he's in there for not parking a car, right?
Right.
Like, he's being a jerk off to the guy that has the wig, and he's screaming wig and all that. And, you know you're in a comedy movie when he drives the car on the side of the fucking tires.
Right.
You're like, holy shit.
Well, there was a parking spot. Fancy that.
Yeah. And that's all well and good, but then he, you know, I think the thing that turned for me was when they were supposed to be taking the test and he pulls out the crayons. And I'm like, you, come on, guy. And I didn't think that was funny at that point as a grown up. I was just like, you jerk off. Like,
right.
Ugh. Do something a little bit more creative than that, or
if you really wanted to get kicked out, like there are way better ways.
Yeah, he was just being an annoyance, and as a child, or as you know, a more immature self, I really appreciated that. But now I was like, oh, okay, come on,
right?
Let's move on.
Yeah, I guess I mean like that's kind of you know borderline on like the 80s if you think about it, like you know just enough. Of a, like, an asshole to, like, not really get in trouble, but it's still, like, you know, supposed to be funny, like, almost in a lighthearted way.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't just, showing up. If this is, like, a different movie, he shows up and is just, like, a horrible person, like, that, you know. I think it just plays on that whole, like, Spicoli thing where he's like, I'm here, but I don't really care.
Yeah. I hear you. What, did you watch this with Brad?
No.
Oh. Dang. See, I watched this alone too, so I don't have any outside perspective. I'm pretty sure that Anel has yet to see this.
Oh, I'm sure that Brad has, and if I asked him, he'd be like, Police Academy, that's pretty good.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Declarative sentences.
Yeah. That's his middle name, Brad. Declarative sentences, you're like. I think we're kind of on the same page where like when, you know, when we were little, this was hilarious. Like, who brings crayons to a test? That is nuts. But, like, you know, now, honestly, if, like, I was somewhere in the police academy trying to train people and this fucker showed up, I'd be like, no, you're done here.
Sure. What do you think of the big climactic end where they, all of a sudden, for not really much of a reason, they have a complete riot on their hands?
Yeah, I don't understand. I've never, you know, I don't really, the only thing I could think of was that they're in Detroit somewhere. And that just happens.
Yeah. I don't believe that's where they're at. I think that's in LA.
And I'm really confused. I have no idea. But I mean, I like how the riot gets out of control and the first resource they tap is the fucking students. Like, they hop over like a you know police station from the next town over or something, you know, like someone who's actually capable.
Yeah, it makes me think that this town that they're in is run by the cadets, you know, because they're like, oh, we need some backup, and they're like, get on your riot gear, cadets, you're gonna handle it.
I don't see any cops besides them down there.
Right,
like all the other cops are like, well shit, the cadets got it, let's go get some donuts and whatever.
Yeah, I do love the 80s tough guy that steals the gun and tries to shoot Lieutenant Harris, and he's screaming to shoot back, and then Hooks gets him. You know, don't move, dirtbag.
Yeah.
That stuff. I do like that guy, and I think that that's an appropriate 80s bad guy for me, because I looked at that when I was young, and I was like, oh, man, he's nobody to mess with. Look at him. He looks mean.
Yeah, he's got a gun, and he's not afraid to use it.
Yeah, to where I can imagine, you know, people being, all coked out and all fucked up. that wouldn't exactly fit this sort of style.
I think, we could redo this as, like, a really dark comedy. I'm just saying, like, think about it.
It's
like,
just a lot of social commentary. It's set in Detroit. It's a whole thing.
People die.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that made me mad, and I know this is also an 80s thing, is that the lady cop gets herself in a pickle and has to get rescued.
Of course, yes.
Oh, barf.
Yeah. Thompson gets herself stuck, and then Mahoney has to save her, and he's doing his, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah, that was funny, but I mean... Yeah, that's
Ansel in distress.
That's also a nod back to earlier times when women were apparently incapable of doing anything. So
it's true. Yeah, so I appreciated this. I was glad at the end of it that you had picked this, because I was like, oh, okay, like that's what I remember the 80s and this film to be.
Oh yeah, totally.
And so it was nice to kind of revisit it. Like a lot of these things though, there's not a whole lot to dig into. It's, you know, if Cameron was on, there wouldn't be a lot of talk about how it was made really, or the cinematography or the editing choices, right. Or, you know, that's movies. Not this sort of film, you know.
Right. I mean, that's, obviously they weren't trying to do anything, on that level.
Sure. But yeah, so I thought I enjoyed it. If people haven't seen it, I would give it a watch. I think it still holds up well enough to.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, like, there are still some parts where I was giggling, and so I mean, yeah, I do not regret watching it. So sure. I still think that bun in the oven that's the funniest fucking joke I've ever seen.
See, what made me laugh so hard this time was Tackleberry when they're at the party on the beach, and he's playing a saxophone and he's such a cool guy, and then the boobs come out and he's just sitting there, tongue out. Not playing the sax, just staring hardcore. And that really made me laugh because I didn't remember that. And I was like, oh my God, that is so funny. And we can't move on without mentioning the Blue Oyster.
Right.
That is our song that will end our show today. And that is, I always loved that part. And what's interesting is, as of recording, we are watching the film Cruising. For the William Friedkin Part 3 episode over at Filmographies that Cameron and I do. And that is a film with Al Pacino about the sort of leather and bondage and the bondage homosexuality culture in the 80s. In the late 70s and 80s. And so I, you know, had seen that before I watched Police Academy, and I was like, oh shit, like this is exactly what Cruising was like, except with a comedic bent instead of this is pretty intense and this is really hardcore.
No pun intended.
Yeah, because in Cruising you have guys greasing their arms up and it's a whole thing. So
that's
pretty intense.
Thanks for the details.
Pretty intense. Just putting that out there, you know. Yeah. Cross promotion. If you want to hear us talking about greasing and whatnot, that'll be out in a month or so, I bet. All right, well, let's move on. Our next film is from this year. It is from 2014, and it is They Came Together.
So, Joel, Molly, how'd you two meet?
Kind of a corny romantic comedy kind of story.
That's true.
From the creators of Wet Hot American Summer comes a film that dares to reveal the true meaning of love.
Is she okay?
If you love love stories...
You like fiction books?
I never met anyone else who likes fiction.
That is too funny.
And if you love falling in love... then you will love this love story.
Hey, you look different.
Really? You think so?
You've got Groucho glasses on.
You noticed.
Well, great story.
Yeah, we should get together again very soon.
We're not done.
Yeah, sit down.
Well, actually, you know, it's getting so late. Sit your ass down, Karen.
From the director of Role Models,
If I were you, I would be very wary of my motives.
Yummy, yummy in my tummy.
It's hot, 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 hot.
The point of love is to get laid. And I'm talking about sexual intercourse. 2 points. Swish.
Do not listen to Mr. Chronically Single, always dating some new hot chick guy.
Comes a romantic comedy.
All hail Joel.
Trevor, didn't you hear? You're fired. Now get out of here before I change my mind.
No, I want you to change your mind. Then I'll still have a job.
Like you've always seen before.
They came together.
No, we didn't.
Only better.
Go jump in a lake, meathead. Oh.
You get it now, Mr. Combines traits that each of us represents, and all you need to do is put it all together and you'll be just fine, guy.
And weirder.
Go deep! Go deeper! Go deeper! Go deeper.
What is that in your ear?
What?
It's for you. You know, you're pretty adorable when you get all fussy like that.
Your story really is like a corny movie.
I know. The only difference is it's not a movie. It's our real life.
When Joel and Molly meet, it's hate at first sight. His big corporate candy company threatens to shut down her quirky indie shop. Plus, Joel is hung up on his sexy ex, but amazingly, they fall in love until they break up about 2/3 of the way through.
And what I like about that description is that was written by Lionsgate. That was written by the company.
Perfect.
I put it out. They're like, you know what? You don't really need to know what it's about.
Right.
This is what happens.
We're just gonna, you know, go ahead.
Real broad strokes here.
Yes.
So this is the film that I selected. I felt like it's so hard in spoofs because there are so many good ones and so many famous ones with the Naked Gun.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah, with the whole, you know, the whole filmography of Mel Brooks through Airplane and those sort of films to,
yeah.
You know, there's just a lot to choose from. So I wanted to go with a film that I had yet seen, but was from a director that I knew, and that was David Wayne, who did Wet Hot American Summer, and a few other films that I don't think are quite as successful. I think, for me, his high point is Wet Hot American Summer, which spoofs the sort of camp, summer camp films.
That tray pickup scene. I mean, again. It's a fist ever.
Paul Rudd, so good in that. you got me distracted. So this film, I had been listening to a different podcast, and they had talked about this when it had just come out. And it, you know, it stars Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd, and it's a take off of romantic comedies. And I was like, oh, romantic comedies with those two actors, and it's making fun of the genre while still being in the genre. And we have a long history of not liking the romantic comedy cookie cutter formula.
Right.
You know, for people that,
way through.
Yeah, for people that weren't maybe listening from the very beginning, episode 2, Rachel put together a little script and had four different films and how they all fit into the same exact formula.
Yeah.
And it was quite a thing. And I think you can actually go on our archive on our website and find that. I know that it's not on the feed anymore, but you can go to our site and go through all of our older episodes, which the sound quality is much different. I found out recently.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was like, wow, that sounds way different than what it does now. It's hard for me to listen to, but if you want to check that out, they could find that.
Sure.
So what I'm getting around to is I didn't have a history with this.
Right.
This is the first watch for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did have the David Wayne. I knew it was coming from him, and I told you that it was coming from him. So I had that going for me. So with that being said, Cruz, what did you think of They Came Together?
I absolutely hated the fact that I couldn't watch it again. How about that? Did you think I got you there?
You absolutely got me, and I went, oh, fuck. Because it's like, how am I going to get this to be a half an hour discussion of
Rachel doesn't like it. Yeah.
So tell me about it. What did you like about it?
you know, it's just, it's, I really, actually really, really liked it. And Brad, like, walked in about 5 minutes in and saw the four people at the table, and made me, like, restart it. So nice. He could sit with me. Cause, like, as soon as you said, like, Wet Hot American Summer and Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler, like, I was like, well, obviously I would sit through them just improvising for a half an hour or an hour and a half. I mean, and like, it had so many ridiculous people in it. Like, people just start showing up, like, Rafi from the League is, like, in his, you know.
Yes.
Like, every time they're, and Schmidt is his brother. So, like, every time there's a new scene and new people come, we're all, like, Brad and I were like, oh, man, it's this guy, you know?
Yeah, and you have Ed Helms plays Egbert. You have Ellie Kemper, also from The Office, as one of the people with Bill Hader.
Yes.
And awesome. We have Christopher Maloney and Colby Smulders from How I Met Your Mother. And it's just, like, it's like all the show, Jack McBriar from 30 Rock. It's just all of the, Ken Marino's in there even, but it's just all of the people from the sitcoms or, you know, the little comedy shows that I watch in one film, I felt like.
Yeah. And I liked it because obviously because it's making fun of romantic comedies, which it totally is. But not to the point that it was like, I mean, it was obvious, but it wasn't like scary movie obvious, where it was like, watch us do this scene where we make fun of this other scene in this movie. I mean, of course, you know, they're kind of doing the You Got Mail deal, but like, you know, it's not thrown in your face like that. And so, I don't want to say subtle because a lot of the jokes are ridiculous, but, I mean, and the fact that it was, Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler, made it more credible for me, I guess.
Yes. Well, see, that's the thing. I would watch an actual romantic comedy with those two.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I thought they were so good. And I thought that they were good in them being ridiculous, but then telling the story, you know, I just thought that it had those two separate layers of, okay, we're going to tell you this romantic comedy. And then the layer inside of that, they're like, we know we're in a romantic comedy, but we're still going to act how people genuinely act in that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. And that, I mean, like that, just some of the scenes like I'm revisiting in my head are hilarious. But yeah, the, when he's talking with Schmidt and they're like, hey, by the way, thanks. Right. Hey, what was the other scene? Oh, the tell me about it.
Oh, the bartender scene, yeah.
I thought Brad was like, ice, come on.
Well, that's the thing. It goes from, it's funny, then it's too much, then it comes back around and it's funny again.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Because it's so long with the tell me about it, and whatever the second line is. But it's
well, you came in and you look kind of sad and you've been drinking or yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about it. And then he says the same line over and over and then he goes, you know, but it's just, it's just that repetition. And, you know, I think that for reference for people that haven't seen it, it's a little bit like the Family Guy, American Dad.
Falling down.
Yeah. Where they just keep repeating the joke. Yeah. 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 It's like that. I loved the New York as a character.
Yes. Oh my God. It's perfect.
Because that sort of thing is so common in romantic comedies.
Yes. And the thing that I also liked is the in your face, quote unquote, in your face parts are literally subtle, sarcastic one-liners.
Mm.
Like she's like, I love my shop so much that I didn't really need a boyfriend. It's like New York is my boyfriend. And then Bill Hader's like, smart. I mean, that makes you like a really cool independent woman or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's perfect. Like,
yes. Yes. I did love that right away. They're breaking the fourth wall. They're looking right at the camera.
Right.
They're very aware. I think that it is really funny how they're playing with the character types when Paul Rudd goes and plays basketball.
Oh, perfect. I'm that guy's been married for 8 years. It's going to tell you that's great. Yeah.
Yes. I just thought that was so well done. We have, with Max Greenfield with Schmidt from New Girl, he calls him Big Brother most of the time. You don't find out his name is Jake until towards the end of the film.
Right.
I thought that was really good. And, you know, my main takeaway is, for me, and I don't know what this, I don't know that this says anything, about, you know, the amount of films that I've seen, and she hasn't, but I was laughing my ass off. Like, I was genuinely laughing very hard. And Annelle was enjoying it, but she was just kind of like, all right, like, it's fine. But I was like, no, this is the thing with this, and this, and this means this, and this relates to that. And she's like, okay, yeah. Well, you can explain it, but it's not funny now that you had to go and explain it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, no, you have to know this part and this, and this movie said that exact same thing. And she's like, okay, great. You know, and so I think that, like we were saying at the beginning, I think it's very heavily dependent upon you seeing a lot of these type of films.
Yes, a lot of shitty romantic comedy movies.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
So I don't know.
Actually, I think it's dependent upon, and this is not saying anything about Annelle because I know her personally and I know that she is not a dumb girl, but it's about you seeing a lot of shitty romantic comedies and acknowledging them for being shitty romantic comedies.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's true. Like, I think if you have somebody that genuinely likes romantic comedies.
Yeah.
And is a big Katherine Heigl fan.
Blah.
And thinks maybe One for the Money was going to be a great movie.
There is.
I'm never going to live that down anyway. that was a fucking debacle. But I think that that person watching this film, while they may get that they're making fun of it, they're not going to enjoy it the way that you and I did.
Right. It's not made. It was made for us.
Yeah. And so, you know, when I heard about this film and that it was David Wayne, it sight unseen, I was like, ooh, I got to find a way to get that into a show.
Nice.
You know, I was like, there's got to be a way that Rachel and I can talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to mention the music video.
Oh my, it's so, see, just stuff like that. It's so perfect. It's so great.
Oh
man. Where was this when we originally talked about romantic comedy?
I don't know. It was only 2 years ago.
I feel like he maybe listened to our podcast and did it.
David Wayne is like, you're welcome, these guys are onto something. Yeah, you're not too welcome, actually, David Wayne. I mean, this has a whopping 5.4 rating on IMDb, so the masses did not enjoy it.
Well, I didn't even hear it. I didn't even know this was a movie until you told me about it. I didn't see it in theater trailers at all.
Yeah, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I know the UK, it says the UK release up here, which I don't give a shit about that, but it was...
It's America.
Yeah, that's right. It was released in January, so almost a year ago.
Huh.
So, and that's kind of the, you know, the depths of, you know, you're not exactly wanting to go to the theater in January and February.
Because
that's when all the shit gets put out. So, but I don't know. Like, I just don't understand. I mean, the whole Michael Ian Black thing with Tiffany was ridiculous. And he's, you know, he's doing the whole proposing thing and she's like clearly banging this guy right behind him. And
yes. And that, okay. And so like that, I think. And I think another thing that I like about this movie is that it's over the top when it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many times have you seen a movie where he's like, I think she's the one, and he goes home and does some sort of proposal, romantic gesture, and he, you know, like, or either or. Mm-hmm. And like, so that part that it's so ridiculously over the top because it's been done so many times ridiculously, it was perfect.
And I don't know what kind of relationship that Christopher Maloney and David Wayne have, but he plays the most ridiculous people. And I laughed so hard when
he, the shitting in the pajamas thing.
He's got his costume on.
Oh man.
And he's doing like the Dumb and Dumber thing.
Yeah.
Where he's got to shit himself.
He tries to unhook it with the towel holder, and it's just not happening.
He can't get his costume off, and he's like, you know, the toilet's right there, and he's got to go so bad, and he just can't make it happen. And you're left to kind of think, oh boy, this is bad, and it looks like he's shitting himself, right?
Yay.
As they leave that scene, and you're like, oh, holy shit, that's ridiculous. Oh, that's really funny. And then Kenan Thompson goes and starts talking about shitting himself and how he changed into this different outfit and the costume that's got shit in it.
Just sitting there.
Still in the bathroom.
He just completely bold-faced denies it. Well, it's obvious that someone put my costume on, shit in it, and left it like, oh, the balls on that guy, right?
Oh, that's so good. And I believe Anella was like, that's his boss, right? And I was like, yeah, that's his boss.
Oh, man.
Oh, that is so good.
Yeah, I don't know. He must have, like, they must have been drinking buddies a long time ago, and he must have lost a pretty good bet.
Must have been. I mean, hats off to him, because, you know, he has a fairly serious career as an actor.
Right.
You know, I mean, with being in Law and Order for quite a while.
That's why I love stuff like this, though. It's like, you know, like when Matt Damon is in, like, Euro Trip and random stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm gonna do a cameo for him. Ridiculous. Yeah. So, like, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that's good. What, I fucking love the kids stuff. But then now I'm not exactly remembering what it was about a kid. Do you remember anything about that, Cruz?
I mean, like, there were kids in her candy store.
Maybe that was I did think the guy with the pole in his ass was really funny. About how that kept coming back. And that was one of the things where I was like, oh my god, this is so dumb, but I can't stop laughing at it.
Oh, she has a kid.
Oh, right.
Oh, and he like immediately wins him over.
Yes.
And he's like, and that's perfect too, because it's way over the top, but like, that's instantly how they want you to feel in a romantic comedy about the couples, you know, like, oh my god, he could be the dad, like, right off the bat. And
oh, so, that's like, right, because the kids instantly, like, calling him dad and all
I was
this.
Like, dad, I mean, yes. Joel. And she, like, just does, like, Google eyes at him, like, oh man.
Oh, this could be the real thing.
Right. And the,
that's
the,
so good.
The fucking glasses and the mustache. Ridiculous. It.
The Charlie Chaplin thing.
Yes. Yeah. He's like, oh, you changed, you know, like, oh, you look different. And the fact that he doesn't notice at the wedding. And then the foreshadowing where she tells him where she would go if she was depressed. Like,
yes.
Oh, it's just so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Just
yeah, it really is. I mean, if people haven't seen this, they should really check it out, especially if they have any sort of a sense of humor or any sort of fondness of romantic comedies, even if fondness means making fun of them.
Right.
Yeah, like we did with what was it, Leap Year, that we did that one too.
Oh, barfalicious.
Man, that was a long time ago. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, I put this on my, I put this on our collective Amazon wish list, which I'll get
hopefully
to.
I'll have to. Oh, every time I see, you know what I'm going to do? Every time I see some girl on Facebook mention The Notebook, I'm going to put this movie in.
Yeah, just have that IMDb link.
Yeah.
And just paste it right in there and say, you should watch this instead.
Yeah.
This will be good for you. They fucking die at the end. That would have been the only thing that would have been better, if they would have just died at the end.
Well, they could make a sequel where, like, he dies and then she's like, get over it. I'm just saying.
If they can make a sequel to Dumb and Dumber, they can make a sequel to this.
Right?
I'm unsure as to how well this did, but I can't imagine that it made a lot of money. Cause like you had said, I had never heard of it until I heard of it on a different podcast.
Right.
And, I would be surprised if it even came to Lincoln. You know, I don't know that it even did.
I don't remember. Yeah. And I mean, I go to a fair amount of movies.
Yeah.
I like that they came together was when they came to the party together dressed as Benjamin Franklin.
Dressed as Benjamin Franklin.
I like how, and the other thing is like that was her friend's costume that she just let her borrow.
Yeah, her black friend.
That friend was going to be Benjamin Franklin for Halloween.
Right.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's too good. It's very funny. Very, very funny. All right. Well, do you have anything else about either one of those or spoofs in general or anything like that?
No, I really like this kind of lighthearted.
I know
that we're doing this.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, you know, in September we did childhood favorites. That was pretty light. And then we, you know, we added some extra movies and did a lot of horror films in October. So I think that it was nice to go back to films where you can just kind of sit back and enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good. All right. Well, I think I'm good as well. So why don't you wrap us up here, Cruiser?
Okay. If you have any comments for the show or movies you'd like to hear us talk about, please email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at plainlabelpod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79 and me at LadyZlike. And I actually checked my Twitter the other day, so baby steps.
There you go.
Yeah. We also
one day at a time.
Shit. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a bit, you could head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of the movies we want, equipment we need, and a whole bunch of other goodies. If you're in the giving mood, do they serve liquor on Amazon?
Okay. I'm not saying that they don't.
Okay. Just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. And thanks for listening. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with more spoofs.